Welcome back to the Crypto Daily. Bitcoin's recent surge has reignited the debate about its role in the global financial system, and things are heating up. We're seeing what some are calling a declaration of war from central banks like the Fed and ECB.
It's a fascinating power struggle playing out. On one hand, you have Bitcoin, this decentralized, censorship-resistant asset gaining traction as a hedge against inflation and economic uncertainty. On the other, you have these powerful institutions seemingly threatened by its rise.
Exactly. And their weapon of choice? Research papers. The Fed, for instance, published one arguing that Bitcoin could be taxed or even banned to help governments maintain their deficits. They're essentially saying Bitcoin throws a wrench in their whole spending plan.
It's a bold claim, to say the least. They're framing Bitcoin as a threat to their ability to manage the economy, which of course is their whole raison d'etre. But let's be honest, Bitcoin is simply exposing the flaws in the current fiat-based system. It's a direct challenge to their control over money.
And it's not just the Fed. The ECB published a paper arguing that Bitcoin's price appreciation is inherently unfair, claiming early adopters are essentially stealing wealth from latecomers. They even suggest policies to curb Bitcoin's growth or eliminate it altogether.
It's a classic case of blaming the messenger. They're trying to deflect attention away from their own inflationary policies, which arguably have done far more to exacerbate wealth inequality than Bitcoin ever has. Let's remember who benefits most from quantitative easing and artificially low interest rates.
That's a really important point. It's not Bitcoin that's causing economic hardship. It's often the very policies these central banks are enacting. They're trying to paint Bitcoin as the villain when it's potentially a lifeline in a system increasingly rigged against the average person. Speaking of vulnerabilities, WazirX just released its first proof of reserve since that massive hack back in July. Turns out their total assets plunged by over 40%.
Ouch, that's a tough blow. It really highlights the importance of robust security measures, especially for platforms handling such large sums of money.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that they're now partnering with CoinGabber for a third-party dynamically updated proof of reserves. It seems like they're trying to rebuild trust, but it's going to be an uphill battle.
Transparency is key in this space, and this move towards dual proof of reserves dashboards could set a new standard for the industry. The question is, will it be enough to restore confidence after such a significant breach?
So the YGG Play Summit is generating some buzz with its focus on the future of, well, play. What's your take on their approach, particularly this idea of merging classic games with Web3 elements?
It's a smart move. Remember the early days of Web3 gaming? It was all about the tokenomics, often at the expense of actual gameplay. YGG seems to be acknowledging that shift from play to earn to play and earn by focusing on engaging mechanics first and then layering on the blockchain aspects.
Right, like that Anna chess game they highlighted. Injecting fantasy elements into chess? That's thinking outside the box.
Exactly. It broadens the appeal. And that panel discussion about moving beyond gaming into things like AI data labeling through their Future of Work program, that's huge. It positions YGG not just as a gaming guild, but as a key player in the evolving digital work landscape.
So, we're talking about blockchain on Mars. Is this a real possibility, or are we just entertaining a sci-fi fantasy?
It's closer to reality than you might think. This neuromorphic computing breakthrough could be a game changer. These chips are designed to mimic the human brain, processing data with incredibly low latency, perfect for environments where real-time connectivity is a challenge, like, say, Mars.
Right? Because with the current communication lag, blockchain transactions as we know them would be virtually impossible.
Exactly. But imagine a network of neuromorphic devices on Mars, handling transactions locally. It could create a Martian blockchain ecosystem that operates somewhat independently, syncing with Earth periodically. It's a fascinating solution to a complex problem.
It sounds like this could have implications beyond just cryptocurrency. Think about scientific data processing or even autonomous robot operations on Mars.
Absolutely. This technology has the potential to revolutionize any field that relies on edge computing, and its development could have a ripple effect on terrestrial applications as well.
So, Binance Connect is back from the dead. This time, it's sporting a tighter integration with the Binance ecosystem and a heavy emphasis on regulatory compliance. What do you make of this move, especially considering the service's short-lived lifespan just a few months ago?
It's a bold move, for sure. The closure of Binance Connect in August was seen by many as a sign of the regulatory heat Binance was facing. Relaunching it so soon suggests they're confident in their ability to navigate the compliance landscape, which is increasingly complex in the crypto world. The integration with existing Binance accounts is interesting too. It streamlines the user experience and could potentially draw in more users who are already comfortable with the Binance platform.
It also raises questions about the previous closure. If they've managed to address the regulatory hurdles and payment processing issues so quickly, why close it down in the first place? Was it a strategic retreat to regroup, or were there deeper issues at play?
It's hard to say for sure without more transparency from Binance. It could be that they needed to restructure their partnerships, solidify their compliance protocols, or even just buy time in the face of regulatory scrutiny. The timing, so close to the launch of their Payment Aid partnership, does suggest a calculated approach to their fiat on-ramp strategy.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. The demand for seamless fiat to crypto gateways is only going to increase, and Binance clearly wants to be a major player in that space. Whether they can achieve that while navigating the ever-shifting regulatory landscape remains to be seen. Speaking of institutional interest, Grayscale's Zcash Trust just completed a private placement of shares. They raised a significant amount of capital, but it does make you wonder about the strategy here. Why Zcash, and why a private placement in this market?
It's a fascinating play. Zcash, with its privacy focus, occupies a unique niche in the crypto ecosystem. It seems Grayscale is betting on institutional demand for assets that offer something different from the usual Bitcoin and Ethereum exposure. The private placement route allows them to tap into a specific investor base, likely those comfortable with higher risk and potentially higher rewards.
It's certainly not for the faint of heart. Zcash, like many altcoins, has seen its fair share of volatility. Investing Pro data shows a significant price drop in recent months, even with the impressive year-over-year return. Do you think this volatility deters institutional investors, or does it make Zcash even more attractive to a certain type of risk taker?
Volatility cuts both ways. It can scare off some investors, but for others, it's the source of potential profit. Grayscale is likely targeting those who see Zcash's current price as a buying opportunity, especially within the structure of a trust that simplifies exposure. It's a high-risk, high-reward game, and it'll be interesting to see how this strategy plays out for them.
Let's shift gears to Neptune Digital Assets. They've just announced a corporate update highlighting their strategic moves in the crypto space.
It's interesting timing, given their emphasis on a resumption of a blockchain bull market cycle. Their activities, Bitcoin mining, proof-of-stake operations, and even that SpaceX investment suggests they're positioning themselves for a market upswing.
And they're not just relying on market forces. They've inked a deal with Native Ads for a significant marketing push. It seems they're aiming to raise their profile and attract new investors.
It's a bold move, particularly allocating a large chunk of that budget to digital media and search engine marketing. They're clearly targeting a tech-savvy, digitally native audience. It aligns with their overall strategy of embracing emerging technologies and trends within the blockchain ecosystem.
It'll be fascinating to see if Neptune's bullish outlook and proactive approach pay off. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us on Crypto Daily, and we'll see you next time.